heaven. Reader, there is a glorious dwelling place provided by Jesus Christ for all his believing people. The world that now is not their rest. They are pilgrims and strangers in it. Heaven is their home. There will be a place in heaven for all sinners who have fled to Christ by faith and trusted in him, for the least as well as the greatest. Abraham took care to provide for all his children, and God takes care to provide for his. None will be disinherited, none will be cast out, none will be cut off. Each shall stand in his lot and have a portion in the day when the Lord brings many sons to glory. In our Father's house are many mansions. Reader, I want you to go to heaven after this life is over. I want heaven to be very full, and I want you to be one of its inhabitants. Listen to me for a few moments while I tell you something about the manner of the place. I can tell you a little of the blessedness of heaven, but not all. What mortal man can explain the full nature of the inheritance of the saints in light? Who can describe the glory which is yet to be revealed and given to the children of God? Words fail, language falls short, mind cannot conceive fully, and tongue cannot express perfectly the things which are comprised in the glory yet to come upon the sons and daughters of the Lord Almighty. Oh, it is indeed a true saying of the Apostle John, "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." The very Bible itself only lifts the veil a little which hangs over this subject. How could it do more? We could not thoroughly understand more if more had been told us. Our constitution is as yet too earthly, our understanding is as yet too carnal to appreciate more if we had it. The Bible generally deals with the subject in negative terms and not in positive assertions. It describes what there will not be in the glorious inheritance, that thus we may get some faint idea of what there will be. It paints the absence of certain things, in order that we may drink in a little the blessedness of the things present. It tells us that the inheritance is uncorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. It tells us that the devil is to be bound, that there shall be no more night and no more curse, that death shall be cast into the lake of fire, that all tears shall be wiped away, and that the inhabitant shall no more say, "I am sick." And these are glorious things indeed. No corruption, no fading, no withering, no devil, no curse of sin, no sorrow, no tears, no sickness, no death. Surely the cup of the children of God will indeed run over. But reader, there are positive things told us about the glory yet to come upon the heirs of God, which ought not to be kept back. There are many sweet, pleasant, and unspeakable comforts in their future inheritance, which all true Christians would do well to consider. There are cordials for fainting pilgrims in many words and expressions of Scripture, which you and I ought to lay up against the time of need. Is knowledge pleasant to us now? Is the little that we know of God and Christ and in the Bible precious to our souls, and do we long for more? We shall have it perfectly in glory. What says the Scripture? "Then shall I know, even as also I am known." Blessed be God, there will be no more disagreements among believers. Episcopalians and Presbyterians, Calvinists and Arminians, millenarians and antimillenarians, friends of establishments and friends of the voluntary system, advocates of infant baptism and advocates of adult baptism, all will at length be of one mind. The former ignorance will have passed away. We shall marvel to find how childish and blind we have been. Is holiness pleasant to us now? Is sin the burden and bitterness of our lives? Do we long for entire conformity to the image of God? We shall have it perfectly in glory. What says the Scripture? "Christ gave himself for the church, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing." Oh, the blessedness of an eternal goodbye to sin! Oh, how little the best of us do at present! Oh, what unutterable corruption sticks, like birdlime, to all our motives, all our thoughts, all our words, all our actions! Oh, how many of us, like Naphtali, are godly in our words, but like Reuben, unstable in our works! Thank God all this shall be changed! Is rest pleasant to us now? Do we often feel faint, though pursuing? Do we long for a world in which we need not be always watching and warring? We shall have it perfectly in glory. What saith the Scripture? There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God. The daily, hourly conflict with the world, the flesh, and the devil shall at length be at an end. The enemy shall be bound, the warfare shall be over,